This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
We all know somebody personally, perhaps it has even been you, that has struggled and suffered with COVID-19. Had a conversation with a friend myself who's out in Gauteng, and one of the things she mentioned most was fatigue and brain fog is the thing that she mentioned. She's feeling a whole lot better, and perhaps you're wondering, why is it taking so long for some of these symptoms to pass? On the line is Professor Renata Skuman. She's the head of the Healthcare Leadership MBA program at the University of Stellenbosch Business School. Professor Skuman, good having you with us. Good morning.
Good morning, Brad. Good morning, listeners.
This idea of COVID-19 long haulers, so we've all heard of someone who says, just can't shake this tiredness, and that's a worrying factor just as a human being and how you want to feel better and kind of move on with your life. Then there's the pressure not only on your daily life struggling with these long-term symptoms, but still having to function in the workplace. What a challenge.
Yeah, indeed. And studies, although we don't have very many long-term studies as the pandemic is only 18 months with us, but it seems to indicate that 10 to 30% of people recovering from acute COVID might become what we call long haulers. So struggling with symptoms even at 6 months. And as you've mentioned, fatigue, shortness of breath, and then the brain fog. And the brain fog is specifically problematic in your day-to-day functioning, and especially also at the workplace. If you can't concentrate, you're mentally fatigued and sluggish, you can't take decisions, you're forgetful. So it poses huge challenges, because even though someone might be back at work, they're not functioning at full capacity.
What a pressure that puts on the employers, because you want your guys and girls at their best, but there's also this idea of compassion. There's this idea of the unknown. How long will this still last? How are you going to be able to still add value in the workplace? And then the pressure that's on the employees to stay within the realms of what's right in employment law, but also trying to see the best for your business. It's kind of this catch-22.
Absolutely. And many organizations, most, are under extreme financial pressure due to the pandemic, and already there was retrenchment. So now we have less staff that needs to do more people's work, and now we might even have staff that's not fully functional. So it put extreme pressure. Now, within the legal framework, you're supposed to do reasonable accommodations. You're not allowed to discriminate against invisible diseases like mental health disorders. But now, if you give reduced workload to someone, you might also increase the risk for burnout in someone else that need to increase their workload. So it's really, really a difficult balancing act. But the important message is that we need to relook at how we approach sick leave. And we need to relook when we see sick certificates that book someone off for 3 months to rest. Rest is not a cure. Rest is not treatment. So whether it's for burnout or post-COVID, treatment means a multidisciplinary team where there's a psychiatrist involved, potentially a physician involved, most definitely an occupational therapist also involved, to help people to make accommodations in their day-to-day life or in the workplace, which is beneficial to both the employee and the employer. So reasonable accommodations within the legal framework, support, but active care, active treatment, not only rest.
Yeah, and that's the pressure now as well, because you're just trying to do business as you, well, what's business as usual now? I mean, that's a different phrase in itself, but now you've got to start looking at ways to do this continuous wellness in the workplace, different programs. You might have to employ and educate people in what's really going on to have to manage it well, yet more pressure at this time.
Absolutely, but also if you look at the return on investment studies, previously they said, yeah, for every rand you invest in mental health programs at work, you might get back 1.4. The more recent study shows that your return on investment can be up to 6 times. So if you think in terms of what is the cost of retraining someone, if you think of what is the cost of presenteeism, not only absenteeism, it's absolutely worthwhile in investing in these programs over the long haul. It might be a short-term expense, but people must also think out of the box. I mean, also with the pandemic, there's so many other opportunities that they have in terms of connecting remotely with people for training. You don't have to employ necessarily a mental health specialist in your workplace.
Exactly.
You might be able to connect with someone and do virtual training sessions or information seminars, and also to consult. No, it's not. So there is so many opportunities that came also with this pandemic in terms of really loosening up what we are offering in our organization without necessarily the in-person brick-and-mortar expenses that was there in the past.
Professor Schoeman, one of the things mentioned many times is studies, and this is a space that I'm sure you're involved in as well, and certainly connected to those doing these studies. This is an essential part because this is new, and you need to try and forge a path forward, and I'm sure yourself and others want to be thought leaders in this area. So there must be studies going around all over the place to try and assess what's truly going on and what does the future look like.
Yeah, I'm not directly involved at one of the business schools, but at the University of Stellenbosch main campus, they are currently running a COVID study, a post-COVID study. So if you just Google in terms of long COVID studies Stellenbosch, you will be able to link with them and even participate in the study.
Conversations also going to need to be had in the workplace with HR to try and figure out what's the way forward. If you don't know your rights and all there is fear that I'm probably just going to lose my job, or they're going to retrench me, or, you know, what are they going to pay me less and give me less responsibilities? There's a huge stress as if COVID and the other concerns of life are not enough. So that conversation has to happen, those open lines of communication.
Yeah, and I think that's an important responsibility of an employee as well, is that you need to reach out. You can't just expect someone always to see that you are struggling. You need to disclose, you need to reach out, because if you do disclose, then is when employers can activate support programs. You know, if you just stay absent or don't reach out and suffer in silence, you might end up not performing and run into more trouble. So rather reach out. But then the other thing is also that there's a huge responsibility on each of us to take care of ourselves. You know, we were good with that some of us better than others, with avoiding acute COVID, with masking, sanitizing, social distancing, although everyone is not good with that. But in terms of the long haulers and also just general well-being, eating well, sleeping enough, having time off your screen, good self-care and good mental hygiene, and regular exercise, even gradually phasing it in after acute COVID, that is crucial. You can't also put all the responsibility just on the employer.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about the Healthcare Leadership MBA program. I'm fascinated by this based on what you've been talking about, Renata.
Yeah, so we're very excited about it. So this year is the third year that we're doing at the University of Stellenbosch. So it's a specialization stream in the MBA. So the first year, you're part of the general MBA cohort. But in your second year, you specialize then in healthcare leadership, specifically value-based healthcare, health systems and policies, and also healthcare finance. You do a research project within the healthcare management realm and leadership, and also international study module where we collaborate with partner schools abroad in terms of healthcare innovation, healthcare leadership, healthcare data management. So it's crucial, and it's not only for doctors or medical people with a medical background, but really people that want to make a difference in the bigger healthcare ecosystem in the country.
And what a way to prepare for a new business future. I mean, this sounds like on point to me.
Absolutely. So we're very excited, and if anyone wants more information, the course brochure is online available on the University of Stellenbosch website.
Yeah, this is certainly big news at the moment. Keep an eye out for more conversations around long COVID and have those open conversations. Self-care, even if COVID isn't on your personal radar, we've got to keep looking after ourselves. It's the voice of Professor Renata Schoeman that you heard, head of the Healthcare Leadership MBA program at the University of Stellenbosch's Business School. Thanks for your time, Prof. Have a beautiful day.
My pleasure. All the best.
Bye-bye.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.